Welcome to the Purpose Driven Leader podcast. Today, I'm having an exciting conversation with a man I've been meaning to talk to, Mr. Morera. Good afternoon.
Raletama.
Ekilikaena.
Rona le kaipo.
Awa rona.
Go ba mo gora gore le nna ke ne purpose.
Yeah, no,
thank you for having me.
Yes. Mr. Morera, long one lip gengwe matla kudu. Like there is a weight that we carry. The title, the weight that we carry, I'm thinking about the challenges that we are going through, psychological challenges, emotional challenges, physical challenges, and ultimately those challenges that we go through in life, maybe even relationships, some of them leave us with scars, good scars.
Yeah.
Sometimes those ones are bad scars that haunt us.
Definitely.
And some of them give us some weights that weigh on our hearts, that weigh on our minds. Please share with us, what do you mean by the weight that we carry?
Kalelemi la kalamba. Kure kabripana, rimetu.
Rimetu.
That's the weight we carry. So the title, I think it's telling in itself.
Mm.
It was an observation of life's challenges. That is why the title says a blueprint for dealing with life's burdens.
Yes.
So from my own perspective, from the people that I live with, from friends to professionals, I figured that in every aspect of life, there are challenges that we come across that we sometimes even feel like they are insurmountable. We can never, ever get through those. And then we get to a point where we get depressed.
Yes.
That is why I believe depression is the gap between where we are today and where we think we should have been.
Wow.
Our own aspirations. So that gap,
yes.
If your gap is 1 meter,
yeah.
It means you are 1 meter depressed. If it's
100
kilometer,
yes.
You are 100 kilometer depressed.
Wow.
So that feeling, that gap,
yes.
It's not always easy because people try a lot of things that they can do. They take advice. They try with the resources that they have. But it seems like to some people it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So the book in itself, it's trying to fill that gap. To say, if you've got this challenge, these are some of the best ways you can deal with.
Yes, wow. I love your definition of depression. Hey?
Yeah.
It's very powerful because, you know, one of the things that I've discovered, especially when it comes to maybe an example of depression, the biggest mistake that would end up making us to carry the load or the burdens that we would carry for the rest of our lives would be what is happening today, where people are celebrating their helplessness.
Yeah.
People are celebrating that, you know, I've got problems that are not solvable. You know, I've got this many problems that no one can help me with. It seems like I am powerless. There's nothing that I can do.
Mm.
But I love your definition very much. So when you look at your own life, maybe I don't know how comfortable you are about speaking about
Let's
this.
Let's talk.
Okay. Yeah, when you look at your own life, in which states or in which phases of your life did you find yourself maybe carrying some burdens that, looking back maybe with hindsight now later on, you think that maybe that should have been a weight that I got off, or that should have been a weight that I dumped, or if maybe in terms of faith in God had given that weight to God?
I'm from Sewashika Mamabolo, and then I was raised by a single mother who had five other kids.
Okay.
And then my father went to live with the Lord when I was only a year and few months.
Okay, wow.
So you can tell, being a single mother, having to work, Godi blessing, and then she was earning, I think it was 800 and something.
Okay.
Rands. And she had to support a family of five.
Okay, yes.
So now, the moment when I actually began to realize that actually life is difficult was when I went to high school.
Okay.
So I didn't have a uniform, and my mother could not afford a uniform, and we were still paying school fees.
Yes.
Feeding schemes were not yet there.
Yeah, not yet. Yes,
I had
yes.
left it at primary.
Okay.
So in high school, feeding schemes were not there.
Yes.
and the school fees was 50 rands. So now going into grade 8, I used my brother's shirt.
Okay.
And then it was torn a bit here on the right hand. I still remember vividly.
Okay.
So I had to fold it.
Yes,
so
yes.
That I could jump be sure. It was big. It was worn out. The color was not there.
Mm.
Then that's when I figured it was a bit difficult, because one day I had my mother talk to the firstborn, my brother.
Okay.
Maybe if they could try get some relish somewhere, Rivershibagadi Afkata, Rivershibagadi Guroshibag Afkata, most hotel.
Yeah,
I know. More like a stell, Rivershibagadi Tamati, the what.
Yes.
Then I figured my mother would not afford a new uniform.
Mm.
And then one day, the principal at that school, it's a sad memory.
Mm.
The principal would parade us go assembly.
Okay.
The ones who did not pay school fees.
Wow.
And then he would say, Baba Sapatalan school fees, and call out our names.
Okay.
And then call us to the side. And then he would say, go back home.
Wow.
And at some point he would do that when we were writing tests or
exams. Yes.
So, and I knew genuinely that my mother did not have that 50 rands to pay for school fees.
Yes.
I remember I left, and then we're going to let you pay. We're going to the social grants for elderly.
Yes.
So they were distributed at local shops and stuff at the time. There were no these bank cards and stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then when I was there, and I was like, okay, since I was banished from school, because I did not have 50 rands to pay for school fees.
Yes.
Let me just go there and see what I can do. Then it was a little stereo.
And
I remember that day I did something very daring. I had stolen a stereo.
Okay.
I stole a stereo from this one.
Oh, okay.
Merchant. Uh-huh. I went and stole batteries.
Okay.
From the other because I couldn't just steal everything from there.
Yes.
And then I went to steal some toys. And then I tried to raise that 50 rand. So I sold to other guys.
Yes.
And then from that point, then I realized and started to understand why people go to some extreme.
Oh, yes.
To try to make end meet. It's because of the abject poverty that we come from.
Yes.
The system that we are in that does not support the different backgrounds that we come from.
Yes, because
the principal at that time was following policy.
Yes.
But while following policy, he did not consider that Malapahalika.
Oh, yes.
The kids who could afford. The kids who could not even afford to have anything to eat at break.
Yes.
And from that point, then I realized that I was on my own.
Wow, yes. Ooh, ooh. When you shared that memory, I remember one of the moments when I discovered that we were also not able to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I remember this one day when it was late at night and there was nothing to eat at home.
Yeah.
And at the time, I remember pap was there.
Yeah.
But there was nothing to have pap with.
Pap has always been there. They made it a point, 50 kg, 80 kg.
Yes.
It was always there.
It was always there.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly that day, but no, I don't know anything yao shiba. Kamu next door ba apil, inoro kamu unko or then kono ba abot.
Yes.
And you know, environments such as this, sometimes people come from environments such as ours or from a poverty background such as ours.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a time where one needs to grow. Maybe I don't know if I'm using the right words, but you need to grow beyond that point, and use that environment that you find yourself in as motivation, instead of you seeing yourself as helpless to say that I'm poor, I'll never become anything. Because the teachers would always say that to us.
Yeah.
You'll never amount to anything. You are so poor, you can't do anything. The friends will repeat it. The leaders in the community will repeat it. But deep down internally, we had to come to our own conclusions to say that, you know what, I'm going to show them.
Yeah,
I will show them that I might be grown. I might have been born poor, but I'm not going to remain poor for the rest of my life. Yeah. Did you also reach that moment or that point in your life where you said that, you know what, the environment and the situation that I'm in, I will not remain in this environment?
That happened when I was I had just matriculated.
Okay.
I overheard. I like to peep. My mother doesn't know this, so when watching this, she'll be like, "Okay, I see." So she was talking to my brother again, and they mentioned, she mentioned how sad it would be for me to not reach my goals, for me to not further my studies.
Okay.
And then she gave example of people who were bright, kids who were bright, but ended up at farms, ended up at factories where they worked hard, but endless.
Okay.
And then that was a painful comment from her. Because I had just matriculated with good grades.
Okay, okay.
And that for me, then I said, you know what? As the first child to go to university for this woman,
yes,
I'm going to do it one way or the other, by hook or by crook. I don't know how,
yes,
but I will have to make it.
Yes.
Then I remember boarding a taxi for the first time, going to Tefloop. Remember, it was just a 15-kilometer distance, but I had never been to Tefloop.
Oh, yes, then yes.
Got to Tef, to the University of Limpopo. Then I wanted to study. Then when I got there, I didn't apply. I didn't know I had to apply first. So they needed an application fee. Then there was a registration fee. I didn't know about the likes of your NSFAS.
Yes.
So when I got there, it was a an MPC hall at Gate 1 of the university. And then I got there. And then they said, what do you want to study? Have you applied? People were producing smaller cards. They were,
oh, okay.
yellow cards. Yes. I think those were student numbers.
Okay.
And then they asked me what was my reference number. I was like, reference number? What the hell are you talking about?
Yes.
I don't know that thing.
Yes.
And they took a card and said, this thing, it has got a student number.
Yes.
Then I said, no, I don't have it. So they asked, did you apply? I said, I didn't. And then there was a guy called Dr. Nengovela.
Okay.
And I started asking about the careers that I could choose, and they gave me a whole list.
Yes.
And I said, I want nothing to do with maths, anything. Just give me subject, but maths, take it out.
Okay, without maths.
Yeah, and then they started explaining, and then what caught my attention was media studies.
Because
they said, no, you could become a TV presenter, a radio presenter. I was like, I'm going to go in there.
Yes.
But I didn't apply. They needed all of those things. Now, again, I knew my mother did not have it.
Yes, she didn't. Yes.
Then from that point, I had to think of something creatively. Then I heard someone mentioning there's a Medunsa where if you want to be a doctor. Then I made a call back to my mother. Then she called and said, Mommy, hey, the things I want to do here, they are not there.
Okay.
All of them. They're saying they're in Medunsa somewhere in Pretoria.
Yes.
And you know, hey, I can't get there. It's difficult.
Yes.
Knowing that she would give up.
Oh, yes. Knowing
I knew she had
nothing. There was no means. Yes.
And I could not even ask for that money to pay for application fee and then for registration fee, because it needed 3,000 something. So I was thinking of her. The struggles that she had to endure all this time around. And then that was it. By that time, my brother had just been retrenched.
Okay.
So now, my brother is the one who had a conversation with my mother that we don't want him to end up like the rest of
his
peers.
Yes.
And then my brother then said, no, but you can do computer somewhere.
Okay.
And then when I was walking out of the university, I saw Limpopo Computer College, and they gave us flyers. And then that's when I said, okay, maybe I can do a computer.
Okay.
And then my two brothers then came together. The other one had just started as a policeman.
Okay.
And then the other one, and by that time, when you're a student of police, you're earning little 2,000.
Yes.
That was just for cosmetics.
Okay.
But he had to, you know, help.
Yes.
And then the other brother paid registration in the computer. Then that's when I think my consciousness came. Because I said, you know what? I must just pass this thing.
Yes.
Have a computer certificate. Maybe I can work as a teller or something.
Okay.
And when I went into computer literacy, we had a principal who was teaching us business management, because I opted for a diploma in business management and computer literacy.
Okay.
So Piri. Piri was the managing director there at Limpopo Computer College. It's just next to the university.
Yes.
And then he was a prideful man.
Okay.
You know, when you are told by someone who was driving Mercedes Benz there, who was wearing neatly, yes, you know, he had this nice cologne.
Yes.
Then I drew inspiration from there. Then wow. Then that's when I knew, when I met people like me,
mm,
and I figured, okay, I actually dressed better than 80% of people in the class.
Wow.
And I figured, no, man, I've got to do something. I'm actually a bit ahead of my peers.
Okay.
Because my mother made a point, she labored our clothes way in advance.
Yes.
Come December, no, I was one of the stylish kids.
Okay, okay.
So you would not tell I was poor.
Yes.
Then from there, I started getting straight A's.
Yeah.
And then this other time, he thought I was crammy.
Okay.
Then he tested me in front of class. He said, no, this one cannot get 90s distinctions. Yes. Tell us. He asked me questions and I answered all of the questions
quickly. Yes.
He was like, oh, I thought you were just cramming.
Mm.
No. From today, you are an information giant. You are a memoranda.
Wow.
That's
wow.
where the name comes from. You know my brand is
yes, information giants. Yes.
And from that day, I said, I must know everything that I need to know.
Wow.
And that's when I told myself, I will never in a day say I don't have this. I will use the little that I have, I will maximize my minimum
yes.
in every aspect of life.
Wow.
And then I drew motivation from there.
Wow, wow, wow. That's really amazing, because someone might find themselves in the same situation and they think that we here at home, we can't do anything. I'm not even going to bother maybe going to school, even though having had those conversations, because I don't know, maybe in my community there, in fact, in my own family, I remember, I don't know if it's one of my uncles or one of my grand uncles there.
Yeah.
This I heard from my father, who one day told all of his children that, you know, you can see that we are poor. There is no use of education. What's the use of education if we can't even afford to pay for the education?
Yeah.
And because of that conversation he had with his family, now, the children were done with matric, none of them wanted to go any further. They never wanted to study because of that conversation that they had with their father.
Yeah.
That very same environment where someone saw difficulties, but you said to yourself, no, okay, it might be tough, it might be hard. I am going to work through this and I'm going to make sure that poverty escapes us.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at, or maybe when you are reflecting, you know, there's this issue. I don't like using the term black tax.
Yeah.
I don't like using the term black tax because I think that we coming from the different backgrounds that we come from,
yeah,
there is a duty and a responsibility that we have to our parents. You know, if my mother or my father or your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, if at one point they denied themselves certain things so that you could have a better future, I personally feel that we have got that responsibility to say that one day when I've gotten that future that they paid and they sacrificed for,
mm-hmm,
I need to come back and say, mommy, you did this for me. Let me take care of you. Let me take care of your needs. And not see that as a tax,
yeah,
but to see it as a duty. What are your beliefs around the black tax? Yes.
Yeah, I think Africans naturally have tenderness,
mm-hmm,
have love, have care for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Things got a bit messed up when we were taught independence.
Okay.
You know, when we were taught that you need to be on your own, you need to be a better figure in the community, you need to amass things for yourself.
Yes.
Because growing up, when there was no maize at home,
yes,
we would go and ask from the neighbors. We would go and ask from Borakhadi. We would go and ask from Bomalomi.
Yes,
and then they know that when we buy,
mm,
and then they would come and ask when they run off.
Yes,
so that iba as if now we are returning.
Yes, yes.
So iba ile ntola ya gore go fa ke go fega.
Yes.
O tloro ge o ikwatlala wa ya wa feolala.
Yes.
So now when civilization came, when education came, it kind of misconfigured our own standards as Africans.
Wow, yes.
So it taught me that, you know what, Moses, you must be better than your next door neighbor. You must be better than your aunts. You must be better than your uncles.
Yes.
And from that point, we became self-seeking.
Wow, yes.
Where we did not care about the community in itself.
Mm.
That is how crime became so rampant in
the
country.
Yes.
That is how people started killing each other for their items.
Yes.
So now even the issue of black tax, because now the system teaches us that we need to amass for ourselves and show the access that we have, show the cars that we drive as a symbol of success, wear clothes that are way better than the rest in our hood to show the symbol of success,
yes,
show our education. From that point, then it bred in us the spirit of isolation, the spirit of self-centeredness.
Oh yes.
And that became our own identity.
Okay.
Where I want for myself more than I want for anybody else.
Yes.
Now, black text, in the chapter that I talk about black text here, the chapter is titled Still Black Text.
Mm-hmm.
That will never run away from black text.
Yes.
My mother had little to nothing.
Yes.
But she suspended her own life, her own aspiration, her own dreams.
Yes.
To give me something to go by.
Yes, yes, yes.
Imagine if at the time she had looked after herself only and said, no, I can't.
Mm.
What would have become of me?
Ish. Yeah, yeah.
My brother who took his retrenchment funds to register me into college.
Mm.
What would have happened if he had put his needs first and said, I want to build a house,
yes,
and said I wanted to buy a car, I want to marry a wife. I'm sure he had all those big dreams,
yes,
for himself.
Yes.
The other brother who had just started as a policeman, getting just little money for cosmetics because he was still in college as a student constable.
Okay.
If he had put his needs first, what would have become of me now, the person who's an author now,
yes,
the person who has been through to college, then went through to university and
yes,
stuff like that.
Yes.
Would we call it black text?
No.
Would we call it undue spending on your little brother?
No.
I tell stories. I'm a storyteller.
Yes.
So in the chapter that I talk about black text, I wrote it from a painful point of view.
Mm.
When because I'm still, if we put it black text, I'm still paying it, but proudly so.
Yes. Yes.
There was a guy we used to. I marveled at when I thought he was a happy guy. He took his life.
Wow.
And apparently the letter that he had written was that he was tired of supporting his parents. He was tired of supporting his family. They wanted more from him. There are two sides to this. Sometimes because parents had spent so much on us that they suspended their own dreams.
Mm.
Now they see us as hope.
Oh, yes.
They see us as a chance at success for themselves as
yes,
well, for their family, because this is a lineage.
Yes.
It has a lot to do with where we come from than where we are.
Yes.
So now they think you are our last hope.
Yes.
We spent on you through to university and stuff.
Mm.
So we think now it's a chance for us to be like the next one.
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
they don't look at the emotional aspects. They
are not
trained to think like that.
Yes.
Now, and then here it's me. Now I want to compete with my friends. I'm just starting to work.
Yes.
And then there's a lot, you know, from the family side.
Yes.
Now I get that pressure.
Mm.
So our challenge is we want to spend more than we have to please people who don't actually care. Some of these people are not even watching.
Yes, yes.
But
yes,
we want to please them.
Mm.
Now, black text, I see it as a relay in the story that I tell in the book.
Mm.
That when we run, relay is a combination of sprinting and marathon.
Yes.
Where we take the fastest and then we put them to start the race.
Yes.
And then the second one would be the one who's less fast. And then we have the one who can endure.
Yes.
And then when we are going to finish, we want the one also who's very fast as well, who can sprint.
Yes.
Now, we've got this little stick. Mm. When the person who starts has more pressure than the second one who's going to take over.
Yes, yes.
Which means if the first one does not endure pressure, does not run as fast as he could, so that he has an advantage, a gap.
Oh, yes.
Then which means when you relay that stick to the next one in line, then they are going to what? To trail. They will forever be trailing.
Yes, yes.
Now, I see black text like that, that if we were to see it like that, that we need as a family, as a generation,
yes,
we need to relay from one generation to the next. We need to establish that foundation. If I'm the first in line to have that opportunity to start the race,
yes,
I should run as fast as I can.
Yes.
That would be, I should prioritize the most important things in life.
Wow, wow.
I should be able to give the foundation,
yes,
that when I hand over to the next one in the next generation,
yes,
they'll be able to carry the baton and run faster,
yes,
than me, because the resources will be there. They are not starting from scratch.
From scratch, yes, yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
For someone like me, well, or Mafula at the year 2000, Awishiche, our madhouse. Mweloro, my brother was sleeping, by the grace of God. The Persian, the eastern wing of the madhouse, fell. Yapusha, the headbutt, and he could survive. When he went out, the whole house collapsed.
Wow.
Then when you look at it, where you came from.
Yes.
And then the very same brother now takes his last money from retrenchment, fear of knowing what would come after that.
Yes.
But he said, let me invest in the education of this young man. He's the only one to pass matric but bachelor. Yes. Maybe there's a light.
Yes, yes, yes.
You understand? What does it mean to him? He understood his role as a firstborn, that my lastborn is the last.
Yes.
On the relay.
On the relay, yes.
I'm the first with an opportunity to register him into college.
Yes.
And then he took his, I wouldn't call that black text.
Yeah, no.
I would say is building a foundation.
Yes.
For the betterment of the grandchildren to come. Yes. We are going to also carry the same surname. It's a relay.
It's a relay, yes.
So people who think black text is a punishment for being cared about, for being nurtured when you're growing up, have got the wrong end of the stick of the relay.
Oh, yes.
They are going to make the team lose. Because it's a team sport.
Yes.
As a family,
yes,
we must be there for each other, for one another. Help fill the gaps that are there.
Yes.
So that we can be a wealthy family that has got all materials because we had ran the race.
Yes.
So if we were to lose, the problem is not the last one to carry the baton. The first one did not run as fast as he should have.
Yes.
The second one did not also run the fastest.
Yes.
The third one, the fourth one. So the whole team, the whole family would have lost.
Oh, yes.
Would you be so happy to stay in a penthouse to overlook, you know, the seas, the oceans of this world, sipping, you know, expensive cocktails and stuff?
Yeah.
Whereas where you come from, it's a madhouse. They don't know what to do when it's raining, it's leaking, when it's hot, it's too hot.
Yes.
It's abject poverty. Would you be a proud man? Would you have that sense of pride?
You wouldn't.
So, but again, again, we also need to develop ourselves as we start off.
Okay.
I wouldn't go to work. Maybe it's a distance, you know, by taxis, and then there's a whole lot. When it rains, I'm a young professional, I need to look good. And then now I deprive myself of maybe buying a car or staying at a beautiful house nearby as renting. So which means it requires a whole lot of balance.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because the parents may not understand what you are going through as a young man. They will just think, yeah, you've got a lot of money, you're working, you're earning 20,000. Yeah. By that time, to them, 1,000 was a lot of money.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So I would say to the parents, also understand that your kids, it's a different breed of generation.
Oh, yes.
The cost of living is high.
Huh, yeah.
So they, at the same time, they will need to maintain themselves. The more they would like to help as well, but they also have their needs.
Oh, yes.
So let's balance, let's give it time. It shouldn't be something that happens quickly. I think Kim Simon, on SABC One, tries to portray this very well with Guaito, whose parents put pressure on him to build her house and what. Mm. And then the next door neighbor, the relay was good.
Yes.
They ran as fast as they could. But Mantuli did not succeed in her own era.
Mm.
But now she sees a success based on the child.
On the child, yes.
She compromised a lot.
Yes.
But Kako next door, the child has a pressure that my peer is abroad, married a wife, has a beautiful car.
Yes.
On this side, I live in a, you know, cluttered room.
Yes.
So the distance between where we want to be, the double story that I want to stay in, the car that I want to drive, and where I am today, where I do not afford anything, is the amount of depression that we're going to have.
Oh, yes.
So let's balance that so that the child does not always buckle down the mud of that pressure, because it can also kill them. While they're trying to help you, they are going to lose themselves trying to find you.
Yes.
So the playing the balance is critically important.
Hey, it's definitely very important, because as you were sharing that, you reminded me of a conversation I had with my brother.
Mm.
You know, when my brother went to college, he went to school with blacks and whites.
Yeah.
So one day when they were having these conversations, I don't remember whom he said that was the one who asked this question, but the gist of the question was that he was asking the white friend of theirs, that here you are, we see you, you are well off in life. What becomes the difference between you white guys and us black guys?
Yeah.
And then the white guy said to them that, you know, the advantage that we as whites have is the foundation that we have.
Yeah.
Because when I leave home, when I came to college, my parents had already laid for me a foundation.
Mm.
There was a house that I was going to get when I pass.
Yeah.
There was a car that I was going to get when I pass. I had the foundation laid out for me.
That's very true. But on that, I stay near a farm.
Mm.
So it's a nursery farm.
Okay.
So the young man who just inherited the farm did not inherit from the father.
Okay.
But from the grandfather. So they have a generational wealth untouched in their lifespan.
Yes.
So now the one who's still running the farm, whose son just inherited or bequeathed the grandfather's farm.
Yes.
Now, is this the father and the son already are now owning farms?
Wow. Okay.
Which means the son of this one who just inherited would inherit the farm of the father.
Yes.
So, which means there is always a gap of wealth that is untouched.
Yes.
There is one generation that is left with the rest of wealth that even if they were not to work for the next 100 years.
Yes.
There is a wealth that is there.
Yes.
That lies idle, because they managed to build a strong foundation.
Yes.
Where we do not literally inherit from our immediate parents.
Parents, yeah.
That is why so many black people can get a lot from their fathers, from their parents.
Yes.
Inherit, but it does not last.
Oh, yeah.
The reason being, it's too little that you can learn to save it.
Mm.
Because when you get there, it's just a lot of money that's there.
Yes.
Their cars or what. You don't know how to work for them.
Oh, yes.
You don't know how hard
it
takes to protect them.
Oh, yes.
You don't know how hard it takes to stay at the ceiling. Because you just have been raised there.
Yes.
So you end up squandering those things.
Oh, yes, yes.
But with them,
if
you were to make a mistake and squander them, there's a generation of
wealth
untouched.
Yes.
So you would have learned to say, yay.
Mm.
I have to take care of this.
Yes.
But there's still reserves
to tap into
exactly.
Wow. Hey, that's very powerful. That's very powerful, because when you say it like that, because you would see that, especially in the white communities, exactly. The generation might make a mistake. They might mess up there and there, but they will still recover.
We won't see it.
We won't even see it.
Think they are well trained. They are so perfect. If you were to check, actually, the whites don't go further in terms of schooling.
Mm.
I mean, they just get to matric. Some don't even get to matric.
Yes,
they don't have these doctorates. They don't have these master's degrees and what?
Mm.
Because from the inheritance, they get to go to work.
Oh yes,
and learn how to protect it. And it is protected by working the land. It is protected by running the factories.
Yes.
So they teach them the practical aspect.
Mm.
So I think that's where our government should take it.
Wow.
Because now we may be given equality,
mm-hmm.
but is there equity in that equality?
Yes.
Because if we say, okay, black child, white child, there is a school, go, everything is there, textbooks are there, you are going to give you feeding scheme, we are going to give you allowance and stuff like that.
Mm.
But are we starting from the same point of view? You've given us equal resources.
Yes.
But are we starting from equal footing?
Yes.
So the issue of equity, it's still a challenge.
Oh, yes.
In so many black communities that they would think you squandered. Cantina, you spend money trying to build ladders that you can be at the same level with.
Oh, yes.
The one that you got the same resources, but they had already had step ladders.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. We really still have a long way to go. And I love that mindset that you are saying that, no, I am doing it with pride.
Yeah.
Because there's that sense of responsibility, that sense of purpose to say that, you know what, my brother sacrificed things for me, my siblings, my parents sacrificed some things that they could have gotten or done for themselves, but they did it for me. And as we look into today and what is happening, I would say that there's also maybe some weight that men carry.
Yeah.
When we look at the society, you know, I don't know how true is this, but I'm assuming, it's my own assumption. It seems like nowadays, I remember giving a friend of mine an example, saying that, you know, the difference between men and women is that we as men, especially today, we need to work maybe 10 times harder than the women.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the laws, sometimes the opportunities, yes, we understand that we come from a background where men were given a lot of opportunities. But nowadays, I was even giving him this example that, you know, if you are a man and you wanted to make money today, you need to do hard labor and work very hard.
Yeah.
But for a woman to make as much money as you are going to make, they don't need to work too much. Exactly. What they can even do sometimes, they can just even take off their clothes and they go online and they make money. Or as a young guy or as a young brother, if there's something or there's a business that you want to run, you might take some time before you even break through.
We pretend a lot. That's the problem.
Mm.
Even our pieces of legislation pretend a lot.
Mm.
A boy child and a girl child are genetically different.
Yes.
This is a force of nature that when we try to think of development, but we ignore that there are distinct features that we are born with.
Yes.
That we cannot run away from.
Mm.
Men are stronger than women.
Yes.
So if you say you want 50-50, for instance,
why
is it 50-50 on a draft of policy, but now you don't want a woman to go into engineering and lift up big and huge and heavy parts let's say a kanda or something.
Mm.
Already that has eroded your attempt at 50-50.
Oh, yes.
From a deeply patriarchal society where men provided, even the 2000s generation still depend on men.
Yes.
That is why the boy child has so much depression, because even women, to some extent, they think, let's say, being involved in a man in a relationship needs an allowance, as if it's a workplace where you need to be maintained.
Yes.
You need to be taken out, and that tells you that the patriarchy is engrossed as a force of nature.
Yes.
That men and women will never be equal.
Yes.
We just need not to turn upside down the wheel.
Okay.
If we're saying we want to empower women, it does not mean we replace men.
Oh, yes.
And put women where a man was.
Mm.
Because now we are going to lose a point. There's going to be a point where men are going to create a movement against women.
Oh, yes.
So you don't want to go back and forth like that in terms of building an equal society.
Yes.
This is what you need to do. You need to learn how to integrate them, even in policy.
Okay.
You cannot have policies that say preference will be given to women,
which
means you might as well be doing away with quality at some point.
Okay.
Where, let's say, in an interview, we've got three men, three women, and then maybe, let's say, women are of less quality in terms of the merits of the interview and the kind of the job and the experience that you need. But you end up taking a woman because you believe you want to fill a policy gap.
Yes.
Then we are going to reach a point where you are going to say women are not so good leaders.
Oh, yes.
As men who come to revolt against them.
Oh, yes.
So create a system where a boy child and a girl child are able to work together towards the common goal, are able to help each other. Where there is a gap from the women's perspective, a man comes to bridge it. Where there is a gap from a man's perspective, a woman comes and bridges it.
Yes.
In that way, you know that you worked on their cognitive development.
Yes.
They think the same. They want to do the same things. They believe they've got the same powers.
Yes.
They believe that they need to contribute equally.
Yes, yes.
No one among them feels like I'm favored.
Oh, yes, yes.
By
yes.
legislation.
Mm.
There's a policy that will work in my favor.
Yes.
There's a criminal procedure that will protect me.
Yes.
If I were to say this and this, I'm most likely to be believed at first lines than this one.
Yes.
So if we can create that synergy between these genders,
yes,
then we would know we're creating better systems.
Oh, yes.
Where men also do not have to show their physical muscles.
Oh, yes.
And say, no, we're not equal, I can beat you up.
Yes, yes.
Then you would see issues of gender-based violence are deeply engrossed in some of the policy proceedings that we have.
Oh, yes.
Some of the support that is there, either social, either emotional, either financial.
Mm.
If men have to work greater than women, and then we say we want to create an equal society, then in a way we're missing a point. How many street kids are women out there? How many street kids are boy child? So we shouldn't neglect one gender
In
favor of the other. Because from that young age we are teaching the other gender that you are far greater important than this one.
Than the other one. Yes.
Then you are breeding another seed that inverts the course of history that we are trying to say we are rebuilding.
So we are actually
not rebuilding in that sense.
Mm.
We are destroying the old houses and then building the new ones.
The new ones.
There is no foundation of where we come from. There is no heritage of where we come from.
Yes.
So those who come now find things favored in them, then they would not know that we are actually here because we were trying for equality.
Oh, yes, yes. Wow. No, you just shared something very powerful, because the mistake I think that we are doing today is that we are doing things at the expense of the other gender.
Exactly.
Yes, because I remember, I don't know who was it who was saying this, but they even ended up giving an example. Nowadays, a man is less likely to be believed than a woman.
Yeah.
All a woman needs to do or say is that this guy did this, then you're automatically guilty. If it's a crime, you are automatically cancelled. You are fired from work, no matter what is your side.
It's so painful to watch, because emotions emotions. Women have more hormones than men.
Yes.
Men have one most important hormone.
Mm.
Women can go through, sometimes it's not even conscious. They unconsciously change their minds a lot.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, they get too emotional.
Mm.
It's the force of nature. That is why I'm saying when we try to create the support systems, we need to also think about forces of nature. That some certain things are not premeditated.
Yes.
Even some of these women are not actually aware of the damage they may be creating.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes,
their hormones, a whole lot of them,
yes,
that they can be sad, they can be happy, they can be neutral at the same time, yes, or within a space of 5 minutes.
Yes.
So you find that they make a whole lot of mistakes that they are actually not conscious about.
Yes.
So when we create this support system, let's also look at genetics.
Yes.
That certain things are actually natural. So when we support a boy child, when we support a girl child, we must consider where they come from. How are they thinking? What are the things that they're exposed to?
Yes.
What are family foundations that they grew up in?
Yes.
We cannot expect to build a blissful future.
Yes.
When these people are raised by broken families, when these people are raised by broken systems at schools,
yes,
when these people are raised by observations that are broken in society.
Yes.
So let's delve deeper.
Yes.
Let's search the soul. Let's search the mind.
Mm.
Let's get to know how do these people think. What goes into the mind of someone who's a serial rapist?
Yes.
You don't wake up and decide to be a serial rapist.
Yes.
Something must have gone fundamentally wrong.
Yes.
So if we take you to jail, are we correcting you?
Mm.
Is that a correctional service if we don't know what you've been through?
Oh, yes.
If we don't know what you're thinking.
Yes.
We think isolating you from the community from which you've sinned.
Mm.
We think, no, when you come back, you would have been corrected. Then we're still going to experience a challenge of integrating you back into
the society. Oh, yes, in the society.
Because now
yes,
we took you from this world to an isolated world.
Mm.
Now we taught you to be isolated,
yes,
to be on your own, to be independent, to survive.
Yes.
And then when we integrate you back into the community, we expect you now to live harmoniously with the same society.
Yes.
No, you become even the most gregarious animal.
Mm.
And then you would now think jail is better than this society. I can't cope here.
Yes.
So I'm a fan of going back to the basics.
Mm.
Understand human development.
Yes.
That as a tutor, I think like this.
Mm.
There's conversations between myself.
Yes.
Intrapersonal. Intra, that is mean conversations I have with myself.
Yes.
That when I go out to interpersonal, where now I relate with you, already I had thought and processed about my world and gave it meaning.
Yes.
Even your world. When you talk to me, I already have preconceived thoughts.
Yes.
That are going to inform how I relate with you.
Yes.
There's a chapter where in this book where I talk about the looking self class.
Okay.
That most people judge themselves very harshly alone in that intrapersonal communication.
Oh, yes.
Where you look at the mirror, I look at this t-shirt, I say, no, man, these colors don't look good. It's not tight enough. You know, I want bicep like this. And I start thinking a whole lot of what people are going to think about me.
Oh, yes.
Already, I did not even step out of that mirror.
Yes.
But already, I think Ebenezer would think of me like this.
Mm.
I think I don't look too good today. Mm. I think I'm too thin, or I think I'm too fat. Or that from that, you already have crisis,
yes,
identity crisis on your own.
Yes, yes.
When you go out there now to meet other people with an identity crisis, what's going to happen?
Oh, yes.
It's a competition of who you think you are and who you think they think you are.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes,
already you are defensive. Already you try to fit in. Already, there's a lot that goes on.
Yes.
So if we don't go back to that basic,
yes,
we are more likely to misinterpret why people go through so much, why people take certain decisions, why people feel pressured,
yes,
why people don't even have confidence to go out and do things for themselves.
Yes. Wow, wow. And you, yeah, no, you shed some ish. Yeah, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
The first person to whip me, it's myself. When I look at myself, I'm critical and say, hey, no, exactly. It seems like I'm not doing enough here and I'm not doing enough there. I need to do this. Oh, so-and-so is doing that. Let me do that. Or perhaps maybe as we are approaching the conclusion.
Yeah.
What are maybe one or two burdens that you see a man carrying today that we either need to offload with each other? Because I might be out of line, but I think that one of the key things for the weights that we carry is that sometimes we need people around us that we will be able to, who will create a safe environment for us, yeah, to be able to say that, no, this loads that I'm carrying, these heavy burdens that I'm carrying, I need that one or that two people that will help me when I'm in those moments. What are those one or two things that you would like us?
Men must learn to choose themselves.
Okay.
Men's biggest burden is choosing others.
Mm.
Let me put it this way. I've got a chapter in The Weight We Carry. It's called Pressures of Life.
Mm-hmm.
In that chapter, I list some of the most basic challenges that we always encounter as men.
Mm-hmm.
When we develop, we want to look superior.
Oh, yes, yes.
We want to be seen as if we've got everything figured out.
Oh, yes.
Even when we don't.
Yes.
If you look at so many young men who are blacklisted, they start with vehicles,
mm-hmm,
mainly because they want the girlfriend to be accommodated.
Yes.
To think that, my man is driving.
Yes.
And this girlfriend would not go for a man who's driving a tractor.
Oh, they would, yes,
go for your Vorpas, your Max, your...
Yes.
That is a burden.
Mm.
Because now, if you check, vehicles are very expensive.
Yes.
And if you just started working, you don't afford it.
Mm.
A woman, when starts working, they develop themselves.
Mm.
They help their parents.
Oh, yes.
They do what?
Yes.
We get the material to look important.
Oh, yes.
To someone who makes their parents look important.
Oh, wow.
So
yes,
when they want frontal,
mm,
it's mostly our cost.
Oh, yes.
We feel bad to tell them that I don't have money.
Mm.
I do not afford.
Yes.
When we host them, they love going out.
Mm.
They would say, no, I can't go out with this dress. Hey, buy me this dress. Do me nails and stuff like that.
Mm.
Now, men have this pressure of thinking that love needs to be bought.
Oh, yes.
Mm. That's when we lose genuine relations.
Oh, yes.
We lose genuine interactions. Then we get to a point where we think we own these people.
Because, oh, yes,
when we start to calculate the cost,
the cost, yes,
that we endure,
yes,
taking them to hotels, buying them expensive food,
mm,
it's a lot.
Yes.
Now, it's a burden because now you spend your whole time spending on the things that are not contributing to your development.
Oh, yes, yes,
the,
yes,
things that are not securing your future.
Yes.
And, you know, early years are ending years.
Mm.
We've got a temptation of thinking that there's still time to do 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yes.
If I work at 23, I think, I'm still a young,
I'm still
a young man.
Yes.
Then I go into expensive accommodation, you know. I buy expensive cars. I'm out every weekend drinking expensive alcohol. That's why you'll have young men not even affording the lifestyle that they're trying to choose.
Oh, yes.
They buy cars, they don't afford installment, so they don't pay insurance.
Oh, yes.
What happens is, now, when you don't pay insurance, you reverse the money,
mm,
because you want to host a girl, for instance.
Oh, yes.
Let me give you a typical example.
Mm.
A pizza is 200 and something, triple decker.
Yes.
And then your baby would say, please add a pineapple,
yes,
double cheese, whatever. It gets to 400, that pizza.
Yes.
And then 2 liter cold drink is 25 rands.
Yes.
And then already you are at 500.
Yes.
And then they drink that expensive alcohol that comes in a long bottle. I don't want to mention the name.
Yes.
And then already you had spent $1,000 to host a lady for an hour.
Yes.
You will reverse that car insurance. When you reverse it, and then now you are going out, and then you are drinking.
Yes.
Now you're drinking under influence, intoxicated.
Yes.
Your risk
increases. Yes.
Then when you get involved in car accidents, for instance, you don't have any insurance.
Yes.
You are paying for the vehicle.
Yes.
It's an accident,
yes,
which means you have to fix it from your money.
Yes.
You've got a pressure that if my car is broken, it's not fixed, people would say, he doesn't afford it. We knew it.
Yeah.
Hey, what? Then yes, your pressures are mounting.
Yes.
Then you do what? You take a loan to go fix the car.
Yeah.
Now it's another pressure, the loan.
Yes.
Now, that mounts to an extent that you get blacklisted. You pay for the car that you don't even you fix a car, it will never get to its state.
Yes.
You miss some installments, the bank repossesses it.
Oh yes.
When
yes,
the bank repossesses it, then now you have to walk.
Yes.
You get depressed, you get this and that, your girl leaves and stuff like that.
Yes.
Now you're going to pay for a car that is written off in an accident where you were impressing people, drinking expensive alcohol,
yes,
with a reversed insurance of it.
Yes.
Now you're paying it, it's written off.
Yes.
Or maybe it's not repossessed, but what happens, or maybe it's repossessed, you haven't had an accident, it's repossessed, then the bank auctions it.
Uh-huh.
The market value, the book value is 300,000.
Uh-huh.
The auction, they start at 100,000. And then it gets sold at 100,000. The difference is 200,000.
200,000, yes.
It's still you who's going to pay that 200 rand. You still owe the bank 200. They could not do what?
Yes.
Recover their debt.
Their debt, yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Which means you will still pay it. If you don't pay, then you get blacklisted. So you will never take any important debt in your life. You can never build, you can never do what.
Yes.
So that is the current pressure.
Mm.
The high cost of living, with little salary that people earn, with more expensive lifestyle that people try to maintain.
Yes.
So that is the biggest pressure that mostly a boy child is enduring. Girl child, you can start working the same job. You find a girl child not having a car, the girl child always is taken back home.
Oh, yes.
By
yes,
the boy child.
By the boy child.
That is the expectation of society. It's very difficult, my brother. Believe you me, so many young men are going through a lot.
Yes.
And the reason why most men commit suicide is because they reached a point of no return.
Oh, yes.
So my
message
would be, young men, choose yourself. Choose your mental health. Do the little that you can.
Yes.
Build brick by brick. When you see Rome, you must know it was a brick by brick. Do not be pressured into getting everything at once. You can't have a car, a beautiful apartment, a beautiful woman, a beautiful job, a beautiful clothes, everything beautiful at the same time.
Yes.
Learn to prioritize. Let as priority takes precedence, then you'll be able to move at your own pace, and you will refuse to be pressured because you know your own financial plan.
Yes. Yeah, no, you shared some very important things there. Yeah, because at the back of my mind, I'm even reflecting on some of those instances where I found myself being trapped by those temptations too. You know, as we conclude, and as you've been doing the press rounds for the book, I'm wondering, what's one question that you feel is very important that maybe you were never asked? Maybe there might be something that you feel passionate about in the book that you might feel that maybe it seems like people are not asking me this right question for me to be able to unpack this for them. What do you have such a question?
Well, not necessarily, because as the book has 50 chapters, for instance, each chapter, it's a reflection of the little that we miss in life, it's an open secret. You know, when we say something is an open secret, we mean that it's known that if you don't do this, this will happen. This is the consequence. But we still, what? We still miss it because we think we can work on it. We can always work on it. So what people normally don't ask is, how do you feel when you write such a book?
Wow, yes.
The book, it's deeply a personal account because most of these things are experiences from either friends, from family members, even from myself.
Yes.
Some from my parents, some from the things that I've gone through.
Yes.
So it's real account situations that if left unattended.
Yes.
We are more likely to experience more pressure in this life where we live in a cycle, a vicious cycle of you try to solve this because this and this is broken.
Oh, yes.
Now, you rob Peter to pay John, then you rob John to pay back Peter.
Yes.
So you live round and round and round.
Yes.
Because you cannot get out of that vicious cycle. Because you have not dealt with these basics of life.
Yes.
So there's a chapter where I talked about the dangers of the beginning and an end.
Okay.
Where I say an aircraft is most likely to crash after less than 10 seconds of taking off.
Yes.
It's when it's up there in the sky, it's easy to control.
Oh, yes,
but
yes.
When it's going to land as well.
Yes.
Anything can happen.
Yes.
So let us master our beginning.
Yes.
Let us plan properly. Let us not improvise where we shouldn't.
Oh, yes.
Let's plan and know that if you don't have a proper foundation,
yes,
your house is more likely not to be strong.
Yes.
So rather, let it be strong so that if you don't have enough bricks along the way,
yes,
you can improvise and see what can I use to patch.
Oh, yes.
It will never show.
Yes.
But if you improvise on the foundation,
yes,
then this house is likely to collapse sooner or later.
Wow. And as we conclude, what would be maybe the final word that you have for the viewer, the listener who's listening to this podcast, who's viewing this? What would you say to that particular person who's carrying different kinds of weights that you want to help them with your book?
People are going through a lot. Let's be less judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be there for one another.
Yes.
There are people who have tried everything in this life.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think people are lazy. We think people are not doing enough. That's why they're not succeeding.
Oh, yes.
But there are people who genuinely tried everything.
Yes.
And it hasn't worked.
Yes.
When the little that they have, they say, okay, I have a foundation. I can do 1, 2, 3. It collapses.
Yes.
Because of where they come from or where they are or where they're going, you find that it's a difficult journey.
Yes.
I mean, if I went to with you to university, we have the same degree, we have the same grades, and you're working as a petrol attendant and I'm working as a manager.
Yes.
When I go to fill my petrol at a filling station, what do you think is happening in the mind of my class, my peer?
Yes.
So it's a lot that people are going through.
Yes.
Let us always be kind. Let us be not too quick to judge.
Yes.
Let us empathize and have sympathy.
Yes.
Because somewhere, somehow, people just need you to understand what they're going through so that they can live one more day.
Yes.
But as we judge them, we deepen them into that pit hole of hopelessness.
Oh, yes. And as you are talking about judgment, I'm reminded of a sad story I was told not too long ago about this guy who got judged so bad that the day the friend was telling me this, it was when the guy was saying, guys, tomorrow you might not see me again.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of taking my own life.
Yeah.
Only because people were not there to support the I don't know if it's human nature or what, but it seems like the first thing that we would rather do, would rather judge than to say, hey, Mr. Mrera, what's happening with you?
Yeah.
How are you feeling? We would rather judge, and then tomorrow when the person has taken their life, then we say, hey, what happened?
Seeing things from a point of privilege
is
very dangerous because I may start on the same path with you.
Yes.
And then I work hard.
Yes.
And then I succeed more than you do.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're lazy.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you didn't even have the power that I used to work hard.
Yes.
So why do you judge me? Because you are commenting or you are seeing things from a point of privilege.
Yes.
If my six is not your six, you are seeing nine.
Oh, yes.
I have to understand, how are you seeing things?
Yes.
From what point? What are your challenges? Because each and every one of us has got unique challenges.
Yes.
So the more we judge people based on what they could not do, it is the more we sink them into a sinkhole of debt, depression, and stuff like that.
Yes. No, Mr. Mara, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And wherever you are listening to this podcast from, wherever you are watching this podcast from, make sure that you get yourself a copy of The Weight We Carry, because we are definitely carrying different kinds of weights, and we need the help that we can get, as much of it as we can get it. Mr. Mrena, where can our viewers, our listeners get your books? Where can they get hold of you?
All right. The Weight We Carry, a blueprint for dealing with life's burdens. You get it straight from the author.
Mm-hmm.
This is my deal with my team, that we are going to try and ship to everyone wherever they are.
Okay.
Because I want to have a deep connection with every reader of this book. For me, this is a guide. This is a confidante. This is a friend to speak to. So I need to autograph each and every book with a straight personal message to that particular person. Even if you are writing to someone, you just give us a hint.
Oh,
I want this book to do this to someone, and we give it that message.
Wow.
So people can get the book from the author, and then we mainly use WhatsApp to place orders. That's 081-284-9339. 081-284-9339. You drop us a WhatsApp text, we take it from there.
Okay, yeah, and I'll definitely make sure that in the notes of the podcast and the video, I'll definitely leave those details so that whoever is listening to this podcast, watching this podcast, they will be able to get copies of this book. And make sure that not only do you get your own copy, but make sure that you get your friend. If you are a parent, get your children also, so that the different kinds of weights that they might be carrying, you know, sometimes it might be the book that gives them that platform or that opportunity to be able to share with you as a parent of the different kinds of weights that they carry. Mr. Mrena, thank you so much for being a blessing in our lives. You know, it's not many times where we get people who share with us and are open enough to share with us the different kinds of challenges that they are going through in their lives. And I believe that this blueprint will be the blueprint that initiates the conversation that we need to have, to say that, you know what, we've got different kinds of weights, different kinds of challenges that we are going through. Let us help each other. Let us carry each other throughout this life's journey. Mr. Mrena, thank you so much for being with me and sharing with us the wisdom from your book.
No, thank you so much for having me. People should not forget, there's someone out there who tried everything and it didn't work.
Yes.
Let's be kind.
Oh, yes. Please, whatever you do, no matter where you are, make sure that you don't make that mistake. People are going through a lot, and what you are seeing might not even be the full picture. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time.